Christian Parenting.
Welcome to Pardon the Mess. I'm your host, Courtney DeFeo, and on this podcast, we talk about raising kids as Christian parents. It's so very important for me to honor God with my family and the two kids that He's given me, but honestly, it's not always neat or easy or tidy, but it's always worth it. So join us every week to laugh and learn together on this beautiful and messy journey of parenting. Important that our kids understand their identity in Christ, because the world around us tells our kids a lot of things about who they are. But as believing parents, we know one thing to be true. We were made in God's image and we were created for a purpose. Have you ever wondered, how do I talk to my kid about the topic of identity? It feels overwhelming and complicated and confusing. Or how do I weave scripture around conversations about faith, identity, and purpose into your everyday life? Well, Identity Simplified is the resource you need. Identity Simplified is Christian parenting's newest digital guide that includes some of the best articles, podcasts, and videos on topics like, what does it mean to be made in the image of God? How does our identity in Christ change our purpose? What does the Bible say about sexual identity or gender identity? And how do we treat others? And much more. You'll find conversation guides, discussion starters, and script to use with your kids. And since the guide is digital, you can download it straight to your phone or computer and then search through those resources whenever you need. There's a lot of information out there and it can feel like a big topic. And we hope that this guide will help you in your everyday life as you and your family question the culture around you, your identity in Christ, and much more. You can go to cpgive.org to download your copy for just $5. That's the best of the best resources from top Christian parenting contributors for just $5. And again, that's cpgive.org. And let me ask you a favor. Let me know what you think. Email us, DM us over at Christian Parenting or Pardon the Mess, and tell us how this resource helped you or some of our other digital guides out there. There's a lot on the website. We hope they bless you and your family. Okay, folks, I have a couple stories for you. The people that are real life friends with me will not be surprised. But I think I've said in a previous episode that I have a lot of readers, like a lot of glasses just floating around. And I can explain later why. Like, I just can't see and I can't keep up with the real ones. And so they're everywhere. Well, this morning I was about to jump on the podcast and I needed my eyeballs to work. And so I grabbed a pair, but they were super foggy. And of course, I don't have them in a protective case or anything like that. So I grabbed a can of glass cleaner underneath my sink and I went to spray it. But what did I spray is like oven cleaner. So let me tell you about how those glasses look right now. A nice little film. So we had to switch gears. Okay. Second story. When I first started this podcast, I reached out to some good friends and said, like, hey, who they were also been podcasters before and things, that who are some people that you would definitely interview? Who's like top of your list? And my friend Elizabeth said, Mike Irwin. And we had just been talking about AI and technology. And in my brain fog, ADD, frazzled brain, I connected AI to Mike Irwin. All I did was put it in the system, tell my producer to contact Mike, and we're on our way. So as I'm getting closer to this interview, which is today, you're going to hear with Mike Irwin, I start looking him up and I'm like, this guy is not an AI expert, although he probably knows about it. He is like a military hero. He started Team RWB. He started the Positivity Project. He lives on a 32-acre farm and talks about adversity and leadership and grit. And I'm like, I'm almost glad that it happened that way, because I probably would have backed out. Because you know who's the opposite of grit and adversity? Courtney DeFeo. So y'all are going to laugh if you know me and know my capacity for dirt or challenges. And I really did learn so much from him. And he really did change my mind on how to manufacture and create opportunities for our kids to struggle and why that's so important. So you will love him, enjoy, and maybe listen while you're doing a few sit-ups or something. I don't know. Let's try it. Enjoy. Hey, Mike, welcome to Pardon the Mess.
Hey, Courtney, great to be here. Looking forward to it.
Okay, so you just had true confession that you're a little bit of a mess. What's going on over there?
Yeah, well, with the heat, the summer right now, I did this thing called the Jacob's Ladder, which is like this elevated climb. You just keep going one foot and one hand over another. And I did it for about 3,000 feet. And I thought I would be cooled down by now in time for this conversation. It's like 90 minutes later and I'm still like just pouring sweat off my face. So,
you know what I didn't do this morning? Yeah, Jacob's ladder.
Yeah. It is a beautiful, but also very challenging device. So
I did some little research. I've learned about you from Elizabeth and I've seen Hasselbeck.
Yes.
I've seen her posting about Team RWB for years and I didn't realize you were the founder of that organization among many things. So tell us a little bit about your family, a little bit about your business and kind of where you are right now.
Sure. Yeah. So I've got a lot of different irons in the fire. That's how I prefer to live my life. But the most important one is, you know, I am married to Genevieve. She is a University of Texas grad. We met when I was stationed down in Fort Hood, Texas. And we've got 5 kids, age 3 to 13. And, you know, about 4 years ago, just before COVID hit, you know, we moved out to a house on 32 acres. There was nothing else here. And we've been building a homestead and a farm where we're actually starting to sell, you know, some of the animals that we raise. And it's been quite the journey. And and then the other big things as mentioned, that's how I came into contact with the Hasselbecks is way back in 2010. I was a graduate student at the University of Michigan and I was in the Army and studying to go back and teach at West Point. And that's when I founded Team Red, White, and Blue. And so, you know, our mission really is, you know, we're building the health and wellness community for veterans. There's about 18.5 million veterans in America. Wow. You know, and a lot of them, when they leave the military, active duty, National Guard, reserves, a lot of them struggle because they've built up, you know, some bad habits, you know, in their 20s and 30s in the military. And so we work a lot with them, you know, in their post-military lives to really be as healthy and successful and happy as they can be. So.
I love that. And I know you spent a few days with Grace Hasselbeck, her daughter, and I love what she said. She said, it wasn't the best 3 days of my life, but it was the best 3 days for my life. And so we're going to talk about adversity today and some of the things that you like to teach, not just children, but us adults as well. Yeah. And in true confession, I am literally the opposite of you and Elizabeth. Yeah. So if there's heat, bugs, like anything hard, I'm on the couch. Yeah. And I think that many of us are wired. So many people are wired like you and one of my daughters, and so many people are wired like me and my other daughter. And so I want to talk to both because I think that we all could win from adversity, and I want to get into both of those. So let's get started.
Let's do it.
Why do you think that's important? Why is adversity and personally experiencing that and for our kids, why is that important?
Well, I think first of all, the realization that no one's making it out of here alive, right? We're all going to die. We have to stare that reality of our mortality in the face. That means our loved ones are going to die. We're going to get old. We're not going to be able to do the things as we get older that we could once do. I see this with my parents right now. They're 70 years old. So like whether we like it or not, adversity is coming for us. And so it's a question of, do we fight it on our ground and do we try to seize the high ground, you know, so that we can fight back and have the advantage, or are we blindsided or ambushed and it really sweeps the legs out from underneath us and can really have lasting negative effects on our holistic health, but especially like, you know, our mental health. So for me, that's where a lot of my mindset goes to, is that like, it doesn't matter whether you're the kind of person who thrives on, you know, tackling adversity and kicking it in the teeth, or if you, seek out every possible turn, you know, to avoid adversity, like it's going to find us. And I just think that's, we all know that, but it's important, I think, to remind ourselves of that. So to me, you know, I believe in the power of like manufacturing adversity, of creating moments of adversity in my daily life. And I think we can all benefit from that because it gives us a level of confidence that we can overcome the bigger adversity when it comes, you know, and that's a big part of like my thinking on that.
Well, I think that's interesting that you're not like, hey, when adversity comes, be prepared to tackle that. You said manufacturing. So what does that look like for the teams of people that you work with or you're even your own family? How do you create opportunities, as we'll say, for us to suffer a little?
On the farm, you know, this is one of the big reasons why we moved out to the farm about 4 years ago, you know, is because like there is adversity every day. You know, there is things that go wrong and you're like, wait a minute, why is that hose not working? Why did that pipe freeze? Why is that chicken sick? You know, like there's all these things that happen. And, you know, I've learned about myself. I'm actually I'm not as good of a problem solver as I thought. My wife is actually a lot better than I am at solving problems and fixing things when they come up. But I do think that realization, you know, is something that I've gained a lot of, you know, an appreciation for, is the living on land, that is, that there is all yeah. kinds of things that come up. And so whether or not you live on land or not, most people don't, you know, I think it's a matter of trying to figure out how can you create those moments of friction or struggle or adversity in the day, and not all day long. No one wants to deal with adversity all day long. But how can you find right. some of those moments? And it might be, people talked before about cold shower in the morning. It might be waking up earlier than what you'd like to. It might be sitting down and forcing yourself to journal for a page a day, right? Whatever it is, adversity for me, a lot of times is just something that you don't want to do, that you'd rather be doing something else. And instead I've got to do this. And so I think that we can yeah. create those moments in our day. And if we don't create them intentionally, at least I think we should be very conscious of, and you probably have heard of this book called The Comfort Crisis by Michael Easter, mm-hmm. but it's right there. You know, it's my most important read, certainly of the past, you know, couple of years. You know, we should be very aware of like all the comfort around us, and that comfort is something that we all strive for. We all seek. It is very unnatural to say, oh, let me be uncomfortable. Like we as yeah. human beings seek out comfort. And I think it's just being aware if we rack and stack too much comfort and too much convenience in our life, that can become very problematic for us over time.
Imagine a home where reading, creating, and learning happen naturally. The all-new resource from Classical Conversations, Scribblers at Home, Recipes from Lifelong Learners, is designed to help parents of children ages 4 to 8 cultivate these habits into simple daily rhythms inside the home. Through step-by-step activities, Scribblers at Home will be your guide to teach your child the basic skills of learning while having fun along the way. To learn more, go to scribblersathome.com/mess.
You know those mornings when you need your brain on, but the usual coffee routine just isn't cutting it? Maybe you love your caffeine kick, but not the crash or jitters that come later. If you can relate, maybe it's time to start looking for something different. Everyday Dose is coffee plus benefits. They combine high-quality coffee with powerful ingredients like lion's mane and chaga, collagen protein, and nootropics to fuel your brain, boost focus, and give you clean, sustained energy all day long. It tastes just like coffee, but without the downside. No crash, no jitters, just clean, steady energy. What really impressed me are the ingredients, things that support focus, productivity, even gut health, all in one cup. It's like your morning coffee upgraded. Right now, get 61% off your first coffee plus a peppermint mocha creamer, which is absolutely perfect for the holidays, and over 100 in free gifts. Visit everydaydose.com/mess or use mess at checkout.
I'm sure this was informed, maybe I'm guessing, but as you've been overseas, you're like, this is a Western world problem. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not a lot of places in the world where they're like, yeah, I feel comfort and I need to get out of this. Is part of your passion from that?
For sure. I mean, I saw this in Iraq and Afghanistan on my deployments. It definitely gave me a deeper sense of appreciation. You know, people talk before about the power of going to like a third world country and seeing just how challenging life is for so many other people around the world. Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, they would say that like you could look back at the aristocracy and royalty, you know, in the early 1900s. Think about it, they didn't really have running water. They didn't have refrigerators for their food. They didn't have, you know, so many of the things like that people even, you know who are you know, struggling to make ends meet, you know, today have, you know. Yeah. And so obviously they had other things, right? People would wait on them and do things like that. But I think it's important to just realize of how much progress and how much comfort and convenience has been brought into our society, our modern society, over the past 100 years. I mean, cars, like you had right. to like, it would take you forever if you wanted to go from one place to the next. So, you know, to me, like I definitely saw that in Iraq and Afghanistan, that there was still, you know, a lot of just everyday adversity. Walking, if you want to go to school, yeah, you were walking 4 miles to and, wow. And from, right? If you want water, in lots of places you had to walk to the well, or you had to go down to the bazaar. Like it wasn't just something you went and turned the spigot on. So,
yeah, Yeah. Thank you for your service, by the way.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it. Another true confession. So I've got one child that is like me, that we're like, we would prefer to stay comfortable. I've got another one that's just wired and bent for like a challenge. Yep. She would just go, go, go all day. And so one of mine, the one that struggles with the comfort, was struggling this week. And I found myself, I tried to get back and go, why do I want to just rescue her? Mm-hmm. Like, is it the mom in me that doesn't want to see our children hurt or struggle? And so because we're so like, I'm like, get her out of the situation, but you'll be proud of me. I left her in the situation. She'll be back tonight. Yeah. But she worked through it. And so talk about the benefits of standing back as parents and not always smoothing it over, fixing it and rescuing them.
Yeah, this is such an important point and one that I think that any good parent struggles with, right? They want to be able to help solve problems, you know, for their children. And look, we have to solve all their problems for them for a certain period of time in their lives because they're not capable of doing it. And then of course they start wanting some control over that and they want to start solving their own problems. But at the end of the day, like they still need us as parents to solve a lot of their problems. So it's this idea of it's not a light switch. You don't just all of a sudden just change it and say, oh, well, I'm good. Like you got it all from here. It's a process for us, I think, as parents to learn how to also grow with our kids to allow them to be able to struggle and to find their own way through whatever the problems or the challenges that they're going through are. And so number one, I think, you know, we got to give ourselves some grace. Like I sure hope that we want to solve the problems for our children, you know, but I definitely have seen this. One of the things I did with my 13-year-old son, when he turned 13, he's my oldest, I had a bit of a rite of passage. And so we had this like 2-hour series of physical challenges and mental challenges. And you had to memorize a poem and do all this and that. And certainly when you see someone struggling physically, or sometimes even just psychologically, and they don't feel like they're fitting in or they feel left out, all those things, you know, there is such power in the struggle. And obviously if you get to a certain point, you can't allow someone to struggle to the point of like getting really hurt. But right. I think that very often what we see is that our children, like us, are capable of a lot more than what they think they are and what we think they are. And over time, when they struggle, they learn that and they develop that inherently, that confidence in themselves to realize, okay, I can tackle this. It might not be easy. It might not have been fun. It might have hurt physically or emotionally, but I'm stronger for it on the other side.
Love it. And I'm glad you brought that up of physically and emotionally, because I was thinking this morning, I immediately go to physical. When I read about you, I was like, okay, I think West Point, I think like you're just beat to the point of like, I'm done. You've broken me down. So I think that there is an emotional component. So maybe let's talk about that for a minute, that it's not just running a 5K and passing out, or let's say half marathon. I don't know what. But what is there? It's all entangled together, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And honestly, I think the emotional struggles are in many ways even more challenging or difficult than the physical ones. You know, we talked about this when studying positive psychology in grad school, and we talked about bravery and courage and like running under bullets, you know, or doing something where there's physical bravery. We think about that. That's where our mind goes to because of the movies and because of the books and the stories that we've been told. I think that the kind that's more impressive to me, right, is the moral courage. You know, and this is the whole fourth part of my first book, you know, Lead Yourself First, is talking about the importance of moral courage. If you're a leader, if you're just a human being, to have courage, it's one thing to have courage when things are scary physically. It's something often more daunting when you have to have courage to make the decision when people are saying that you're a bad person. Right. And we profiled Winston Churchill, Pope John Paul II, and Martin Luther King Jr. as three examples of leaders that did that. That two of them, of course, were killed. Well, one was attempted killed, one was killed. And then, you know, Churchill was just ridiculed and, you know, ostracized. But people, you know, I think they struggle more with the mental and the emotional challenge that often than the physical, because the physical, often you can just keep going and you can endure that physical pain, whereas the emotional, it's much more complex because it is our brain and those 80 billion neurons up in our head.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. I was talking to a friend last night and her kids are just really struggling. And so everything from an eating disorder to a suicide note, I mean, just, and I think a lot of parents would say like, they've had enough, whether it's from a broken family or their circumstances. So how would you encourage that parent or mom that's like, I don't think they can take anymore. So where's that? I want to be cognizant that not all of us are like you know, get out of your comfort zone. They're like, oh no, we're in hell. We are struggling. So how would you encourage them?
Yeah. I mean, so a lot of this starts, I think. So first of all, that is the reality for a lot of people, certainly. And even people who that's not the case for right now, it might have been a chapter of their story or a chapter of their life. Yeah. You know, I think that going back to my original point about like, we can't escape adversity. We're going to die. Other people close to us are going to die. I go back to that a lot because, you know, that's often a source of like the darkest, most challenging moments in people's lives. But regardless of whatever the source is, you know, especially for children in society today, I think, realizing that, like sometimes the answer is literally just keep putting one foot in front of the other. You know, that is sometimes the answer, like in a physical challenge, like when you're running and you're just beat down and you can't take anymore. Cause I've done a bunch of ultra marathons, like 50-mile races. And you get to a certain point and you think you're like, I am done. I can't. And then it's, you have to break it down where you're literally not thinking about the fact that the finish line is 16 miles away. You literally focus on one foot in front of the other. And that's all that you focus on. Because we can get so beat down by the big picture and the enormity of everything going on. And there's tremendous power in just putting one foot in front of the other, doing the next task, whatever it might be, you know, in your day with your child. And so that's one piece of advice, you know, and I think just realizing that we all are going to have moments in life where we need to do that. For some people who are in prolonged periods like that, you know, I think a lot of this goes to, you know, how, you know, we can develop our mindset, you know, to know that. And this is, you might've seen this video clip on social media a lot, but it's like a round table of famous actors. And someone asked Tom Hanks, you know, hey, if there was like one big thing you've learned that you could share, like, what would you tell yourself? Everyone loves to ask that question. What would you tell yourself 25 years ago? And he looks there and he says, this too shall pass. You're on top of the world and everything's going amazing and everyone's praising you. This too shall pass. You know, like it's the worst and everyone hates you. And like, you find yourself in a deep, dark hole. This too shall pass. You know, and he just kind of gives like three or four examples. And it's just the idea that the extremes of joy and sadness and sorrow and frustration and elation and all that, you know, time waits for no man, right? Like it continues to march.
Yeah.
And you're going to have moments when it's awesome and it's great. And you're going to have moments when it's really bad. And when you're in those moments when it's really bad, I think it's also important to know, you know, like you've seen, again, I'm big fans of quotes, as you can probably tell, but like the storm doesn't last forever. You know what I mean? Like this, it can't. It literally, eventually, by definition, it runs out of rain. It runs out of wind.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I think it's important to know that.
Yeah, that's so good, so helpful. Because I think we as Christians are often to just say the thing we know at the top of our heads, which is God's going to use this for His glory. And I know when my husband and I were in his cancer journey this past year, it's like, that is not helpful. I know we will, but one foot in front of the other would have spoke more to me than like, He's going to use all this suffering for His glory, which is true. It's just not what you need to hear in the moment sometimes. Yeah. Before we get to another topic, any last word that you would say on just adversity and grit and how you would encourage parents to really do this in their daily lives, even if we're going to Target and Chick-fil-A and Starbucks and that's what we're up to.
I think that like the big one would be this concept, as we talked about before, about manufacturing adversity a little bit. It can be the small stuff. Instead of, hey, let's jump in the car or stop the car as we pull into the driveway to check the mail. Nope, let's pull in, walk down, walk back up. You know, the trash cans, any ways where we can find, you know, ways to add like a little bit more friction. I think those are the micro moments. You don't need to go big and go like, oh, you're going to go out there and do this like 5 mile ruck march or things like, I don't think that's practical. I don't think that's very likely for most people, but can we introduce some of those small moments? Like when you're driving to Target, right? Don't park in, you know, circling around and around to get the closest parking spot to save yourself 100 feet, right? Like just say, hey, we're parking way out here and we're hoofing it in, you know? So little things like that, I think are small baby steps that we can take to, you know, make things just a little bit more about, you know, the least comfortable option in the moment.
Yeah. I love that. Okay. That speaks to me because I'm the circler.
Yeah. So, there you go. Don't circle. Just park way to the back. No one's going to bump into you. Right. And then you get that extra like 2 minutes of walking.
That's right. That was my dad's MO. No one's going to door ding us if we're way back here in the next parking lot. That's hey, speaking of ultra running, have you watched the Netflix documentary just recently came out? It's called 1 Mile Run. Have you heard of that run?
I've not. Is this about Sally McCray?
Oh, what is his? Yes, I think so. The guy, he looks like he's got long hair, beard.
Oh, yeah. I know I've not seen it yet, but I've heard about it.
It's so good. So they do literally a 1 mile loop and they have 20 minutes, but they're climbing and they come, it starts with 100 people and it gets down to, and he was a Navy SEAL.
Oh yeah.
So he is hilarious. It gets down to like three of them and he looks back and he's like, the race just begun. So then he starts verbally taunting them behind it. Like, have you been through Hell Week?
Yeah.
Have you drowned four times? And they, I mean, of course he wins, right. But it's so, but I was watching it like I was watching some endangered species. I'm like, what is in these people? Yeah. It was fascinating.
That's awesome.
So I watched from my couch, but it was really good.
I will have to check it out.
Go take a look. Yeah. All right, let's move over to the Positivity Project. Yeah. I was intrigued by that. Tell me how that came about.
So 2016, 2015, one of my good friends from West Point, he did two rotations to Iraq. I did Iraq once, Afghanistan twice. And, you know, we were first interested in through sports, how could, you know, we bring a focus on character and leadership to young Americans. And so it started out that way in our brains. And then, of course, as it meets reality, we found out that that actually a lot of principals and teachers and counselors were thinking about character education, social emotional learning. How do they teach children how to be better human beings? And and so, yeah, we started it off with one school in New York in 2016, and it's now grown to 900 plus schools across America.
Wow.
So it's pretty amazing to see it. But, you know, our Northern Star, like the reason why we exist, is to empower America's youth to build positive relationships. And to me, like, this goes back to positive psychology and what I studied with Dr. Chris Peterson in Nonsuch Park when I was in grad school. The research of positive psychology is super clear that the number one predictor and the number one driver of our life satisfaction is the quality of our social relationships with our family, our friends, our teammates, our coworkers, our roommates, like people who we do life with. When those relationships are mostly good, we're doing well. We might not be making as much money or accomplishing and all those things that we put up on the pedestal that we think are going to make us so happy. They just don't.
Yeah.
Right. It's fleeting. Yeah. But our relationships, when they're healthy and strong, they provide a sense of life satisfaction that really nothing else can do. And, you know, bringing it down to, you know, this level of, you know, to love another person is to see the face of God, right? Les Miserables, like that kind of stuff. Like, it's human beings in connection and in relation with each other. I believe personally, that's why like we're created, you know? And so like we, through the Positivity Project, have really intentionally built out a strategy where for 32 weeks, every day of the week, 5 days of the week, there's a micro lesson. It's about 10 minutes long, and it focuses on one element of character at a time: integrity, humility, gratitude, forgiveness, enthusiasm, kindness, humor, right? And so it goes all the way through like the entire year. And so students are learning just a lot more, little bit by little bit, about who they are beyond like a student or an athlete, right? Because when you ask kids, like, what do you like to do, who are like 10 years old, like, I'm a soccer player, you know, or like, I play the guitar. Like, they go to what they do and not who they are. Mm. And so we teach them really who they are. And then most importantly, honestly, even more important than self-awareness, is we teach them how to understand other people. Because you're going to have to do that your entire life. Other people are different than us by very definition. They're not us. And so we need to be able to understand other people. And that's really, really hard to do, as we as adults all know. And so teaching children how to recognize the character strengths in themselves and in other people, that then provides like a common understanding, a common vocabulary, which allows them to better build relationships with other people in their life.
I love that. So I imagine you're in all kinds of schools, public, private,
charter, everything.
Which is shocking because those are biblical virtues.
Yeah.
And you just,
So this is it. So, you know, we are in lots of public schools. You know, when looking at the science of positive psychology, I'm trying to think of the book back here. It's like that thick, character strengths and virtues. You know, that was one of the Bible is one of the most prominent books that they referenced, but they went through the Torah, the Quran, they went through Aristotle and Plato and, you know, Sun Tzu, and they went through everything across like basically the world. And what you find is the commonality in these writings, mostly spiritual and philosophical. And you find a lot of common ground, you know, in humanity in these different books. And I mean, you know, we know it says, do not be afraid in the Bible, what, 365 times, right? That's bravery. Yeah, really, that's what we're being told. Be brave, you know? And so it's just the way I think that like we've always as humans been conditioned to live. And yes, we bring it down and we built it into, but it's a very agnostic model. It's, you know, it's very much like, hey, this is bravery. This is humility. This is fairness. This is forgiveness. And students are learning little bit by little bit about how to be better human beings.
That is amazing. So where do people find it? I'll link to it. Mm-hmm. If they are like, I need this in my school, what do they do?
Yeah, totally. So it's pawsproject.org is the website. We're on, you know, we got social media, you know, Positivity Project. And yeah, it's cool. What's really neat for parents is that part of what we do is we call it P2 for families. Mm-hmm. And essentially there's scaffolded like K-2, 3-5, 6-8. There's like essentially like a video and a couple of conversation questions for parents to have with their children to help reinforce. Cause you know, whatever the character strength of the week is. So let's say that the strength of the week is curiosity. Right. You can now sit there and know that your children are talking about curiosity all week long in their class. Now you can talk to them about that same virtue, that same strength. So, yeah.
I love that. Awesome. Okay. Lastly, I have just loved watching Elizabeth's passion for our military and our veterans. Mm-hmm. And I think some of us, my grandfathers were in the military, but I think we just get removed and we forget what's actually happening out there and how. So how is a person and a family member, how can we honor and support the work that you're doing, our veterans and our own communities?
Absolutely. You know, this is one of the big ones that we hear increasingly is that, hey, like my grandfather served, you know, in the military, or maybe like a cousin or an uncle. But increasingly it's a smaller and smaller portion of American society. You know, even back in the 1990s, I think there was like over 3.5 million active duty. And now today it's like, you know, like I think 1.2 or 1.3. And our population's grown, but our military has gotten smaller. So as a piece of the pie in America, it's an increasingly small percentage of society that, you know, that make the decision to serve and potentially sacrifice, you know, with their health and their life. And so I think it's really important first and foremost to do just that, like recognize and appreciate the sacrifice. Because right now you may or may not be aware, but there's definitely a recruiting crisis in America for the DOD, the Department of Defense. There's a lot of, you know, people who just are not interested in serving anymore. You know, and and it's not just the military, it's other service industries. You know, education is facing these challenges. There's been challenges in the nursing fields, like lots of service oriented industries are struggling. You know, and I think that, you know, that's one thing. So gratitude and just respect and appreciation like that, it goes a long way. In terms of Team Red, White, and Blue, you know, we're about 260,000 members total have ever joined the organization. We're 70% what we call VGRAD, veteran, guard, reserve, and active duty. So let's just call it the military ecosystem. But 30% are military families or someone who's like, hey, I had an uncle or a grandfather, or I had someone, you know, my mom served. We have people who, a lot of people who are involved who just want to stay connected to the military and the veteran community through that. Mm. And so you can join Team Red, White, and Blue. 30% of our members, you know, have not been in the military. You know, and so, yeah, you can get involved. There's a DFW chapter, you know, in Dallas, and we got actually a couple of employees.
Do I have to run many miles like Elizabeth does with the flag? Okay, great.
No, you don't. So,
or maybe I should,
but be careful. You might get roped into it. It was actually interesting. Like, Brene Brown led a leadership session for us back in like 2014, and we roped her into doing a 5K, and she thought for sure that she was going to like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it. And then there's a picture of her like wearing her Team Red, White, and Blue shirt, you know, going across the 5K finish line. She's been telling that story for a long time because she's like, man, these people motivated me to do a 5K and I never thought I would do it. So.
Yes. Okay. That might be a good reason to do it. It's like I'm going to go fight on your behalf in Afghanistan, but I can't run a 5K. Okay. Yep. That's humbling. Yep. All right. I think that's it. I think I would love to say to you, I'm looking at you going like, you're obviously just a born and gifted leader. And I love that you take an idea and take it to the greater world. And that's really rare that people do that. And it's really rare they keep doing it. So thank you for the work that you just keep churning out and putting out in the world. It's really important. And I thank you for your time.
Absolutely, Courtney. Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to connect with you on all these topics. And yeah, just in sum, I guess from my view, the world's a challenging place right now for, especially for, for parents, for children. You know, in the military, we call it a VUCA environment: volatile, unpredictable, chaotic, and ambiguous. And, you know, as artificial intelligence and all these things are happening, and there's all this change and uncertainty in the future, our faith, our relationships, those are things that are so critical, to being able to endure the ups and the downs and all that volatility and uncertainty that's out there. So I appreciate the chance to reflect on anytime I get a chance to talk with people who are thinking about this stuff, who are obsessed by this stuff. I love it because it forces me to think about it more, but I also, hopefully it helps, some people who hear just one nugget, maybe they heard one thing here in the conversation, say that they can apply in their life and be better for it.
I think they'll have more than one, but thank you so much. You have a great day on the farm. Right.
Thanks a lot, Courtney.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Pardon the Mess. As always, we've got more encouragement and resources over at christianparenting.org. And you can also stay connected with us on social media at Pardon the Mess. And if you like this episode, I'd love for you to do two things. Press follow on whatever podcast platform you love, and also be sure to leave a rating so other parents can find us. Remember, you're never alone in this beautiful mess of parenting.